Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rianne Fran, giving you that Friday energy on a Friday. It never gets old saying that, and it's the last Friday of this year that we will be giving you Friday energy on a Friday. We are nearing the end, people. True. We got this episode Monday and Wednesday, and then we have a little break.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the time to do it. So, okay, you know, Fire last night. I watched The Santa Claus.
So did I.
It was on Freeform.
It's no, I didn't watch it on Christmas. Freeform. Oh. I rented it on Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of the good ones. And the fire going, just, you know, the dogs sitting with us on the couch, watching the snow fall outside, waking up and everything covered in white. It was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
That sounds delightful. It really does. I'm in New York City, so not as beautiful, but I do have a little setup outside of my apartment that is quite lovely to look at. And Norman loves it. He loves the snow. Baby's first snow.
Baby's
so
first
freaking
snow.
Cute. He's like a little snow bunny out there. So that's really cute. And I am an emotional wreck. I am an emotional wreck because Grey's Anatomy has flipped and turned my life upside down. It really has. It's been 1 week. Wednesday would be 1 week. And I'm on season 4. So I've watched 4 seasons of Grey's Anatomy in 1 week.
It's so much.
It's not something I'm proud of, okay?
I mean, after cutting stems, when you get home at like 2 a.m., I saw you tweet about it. I'm like, she's watching it now.
No, because this is the thing. And so she tweeted about Meredith in the ocean, like an hour and a half-ish before like The Bachelor was starting. And I was like, oh no, she can't watch this episode and then have to come to work. She's got to stop watching. It's the worst point to take a break. So she came in, went home. I saw her tweeting about it again. And then Wednesday morning, she texted me about George. And I literally just responded, did you sleep at all? Have you slept?
I barely slept. I was like, I can't believe I have to go and watch The Bachelorette and not know what happens to Meredith. Obviously, I know she lives. There's 17 fucking seasons of this show, and it's called Grey's Anatomy. Of course, other characters die, but it's Meredith. So I was like, there's no way she doesn't live, but what happens to her? Like, she's drowning and nobody cares. So I had to watch, and then I just got sucked in. Every episode you think, okay, this is the last one, and then something happens and you need to know what happens after that. And so I reached my breaking point on Wednesday when I think I had watched too many episodes. Like you said, I got home at like 2 a.m. and I didn't get home at 2 a.m. I got home at like 1 a.m.
We got home at like 1, I would say, Tuesday night.
Yeah. And I just stayed up all night and then slept like 3 hours, went back to Grey's Anatomy, and I couldn't stop crying. I really couldn't stop crying. And I had like a panic attack myself, and I didn't know if it was because of me or if it was because I was watching Grey's Anatomy. Like I was, everything became intertwined, and I was like, yeah. I have to take a break from this show. I absolutely have to take a break from this show. And so I watched The Santa Claus, and then after we finished The Santa Claus, Hank was like, all right, you can put on Grey's Anatomy. And then I immediately went right back into it, and I've been watching since last night again. So the break I said I was going to take, it didn't really happen. I watched The Santa Claus. That was the break. But I think I'm going to have...
Perfect kind of break.
And it just was becoming all too emotional. I was becoming way too invested in these characters. Like, I know them. They're my friends. And... yeah. What was happening to them in the show was affecting me in real life.
You sound like you're choking up a little bit, to be completely honest.
You have no idea. Do you know what it's like to watch 4 seasons of Grey's Anatomy in 1 week? That shit will fuck you up. People told me, they were like, Rhea, be careful. I couldn't imagine binging this show. It's really depressing. And my God, it is.
I cry every episode of I'm still watching season 17. Like I watch every episode. I'm crying every episode of season 17 still to this day. And the only person like that I'm close with that I know is like still watching season 17 is my boyfriend's mom. So like we text about it and I'm like, did you watch Thursday? Oh God, I was bawling again.
Well, see, that works because you're watching it week to week. So like once a week you get a cry in.
Yes.
Watching back to back episodes of crying.
You're like, constantly, oh my God. No.
Yeah.
Bad.
I don't know what's happening to me. George lost his father. Now he slept with Izzy and he's married. Burke is gone. He left Christina at the altar. Like I can't register it all. Meredith and Derek, they're killing me. They're fucking killing me. These two, when they're together, shit doesn't work. When they're not together, the sexual chemistry is off the charts. They can't even be apart. They're sick in the head, these two. They're so sick in the head, and I can't truly get enough of it.
I do also want to say that Rhea sent me, and everybody knows what I'm talking about, the McSteamy coming out of the shower, opening the bathroom door in the towel picture. And she sent it to me and literally just said, I get. She was like, McSteamy, you know, you said McSteamy is something in all caps is what you said.
No,
were
but
you
I
at
said-
all worried because you only knew this guy from Euphoria and he was like a creep in that show?
No, and also I sent you Hank's text because I had been telling him.
But you did say McSteamy is something.
Oh, yeah. I was like McSteamy is something. And then I sent you Hank's text because he just sees like bits and pieces. So then he kind of wants to know what had happened. So I'm like, I sent him that picture of McSteamy coming out of the shower. And I was like, McSteamy's back. And he was like, oh, I get it. yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we were laying in bed watching last night and McSteamy came on. He was like, so you like this guy, huh? You think he's hot? And I was like, yeah, I think he's good looking, but personally, like, he doesn't really have the personality. Like, I like McDreamy better.
He's not as charming as Derek,
Yeah, I was like, I like McDreamy better. And he was like, yeah, right. And I was like, no, I really do. Like, I straight up think McDreamy's hot and really charismatic. Like, I'll tell you about McDreamy, but, you know, McSteamy, not really my type. McDreamy, though, I love him. I love him, guys. But tonight I'm going to do a Christmas movie marathon.
Yeah.
Because
this is the time to do it.
I need some joy after.
You should watch The Holiday.
Oh, so another thing I was going to watch last night, but I watched The Santa Claus instead because The Holiday on Hulu, for some reason, I pay up the wazoo for Hulu. No ads, live TV, all this shit. And
for
some reason,
live TV on Hulu? Well,
there's... because
you have cable.
No, I don't have cable in my bedroom. I have cable in my living room, but I don't have cable in my bedroom.
But there's no reason to be paying for when are you ever watching live TV in your bedroom?
Okay, what had happened was I wanted to watch Summer House with no commercials. So I bought the live TV package thinking I'd get no commercials, but I still get commercials. I get ads. And The Holiday, for some reason, I couldn't watch without ads. So
yeah.
I was like, I'm not watching this right now. I don't have 2.5 hours to watch The Holiday.
Yeah, no, that's brutal. Not, you can't watch it with ads. I'd rather like rent it for $4.99 on like Google Play or something to, so instead of watching the commercials.
Well, that's what I did for the Santa Claus, because yes, the Santa Claus also commercials on Hulu for some reason.
Yeah,
I think that was the other movie, and so I rented on Amazon. So I'm gonna rent a bunch
of
movies.
I guess it's like a Hulu on demand kind of situation, but I highly recommend. I mean, The Holiday is one of my favorites to watch at this for Christmas. It's just a great one, a great one.
I know you've been telling me that. I gotta put it on my list. Maybe I'll rent it on Amazon Prime tonight for you.
Okay. I'd love that. Shall we get into some topics for today?
Yes, we shall. I always forget about YouTube now. I'm eating a yogurt. I'm like, I forgot it's gonna be on camera now. People know I eat yogurt now.
People were making fun of Trent's huge water jug the other day.
Oh yeah.
Well, he's staying hydrated.
Yeah, you got to stay hydrated these days. Yeah. All right, time to get into today's topics. We have Hilary Duff announces that the Lizzie McGuire reboot will not be happening. Kim and Kanye are taking some time apart. We all know what that means. Kristen Cavallari clears up the rumors about her and Austin Kroll dating, Austin Kroll from Southern Charm. And there's going to be a TV show about Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee with a questionable casting. And of course, we have Caitlin Bristow, the great Caitlin Bristow, our dear friend, lovely mirrorball champion. And we're going to talk about Dancing with the Stars. I was going to say we talk about The Bachelor, Bachelorette. We don't. We actually didn't even talk about that with her, which is shocking.
No.
And for a second, I had a little moment where I froze
up
and said,
too obsessed with Dance.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second.
With the Stars.
Usually with Caitlin, we talk about Bachelor, Bachelorette. Did not happen. We talked a bunch about Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
Which was awesome. So let's get into it, starting off with Lizzie McGuire. Announced on her Instagram this week that there sadly will not be a Lizzie McGuire reboot happening. She posted a note on her Instagram, and it's a sad, sad day.
We've been robbed. Robbed. Absolutely robbed. So she posted a statement on Instagram. It was very depressing. It was black with white writing, so it just looked sad. And she said, "I've been so honored to have the character of Lizzie in my life. She has made such a lasting impact on many, including myself. To see the fans' loyalty and love for her to this day means so much to me. I know the efforts and conversations have been everywhere trying to make a reboot work, but sadly, and despite everyone's best efforts, it isn't going to happen. I want any reboot of Lizzie to be honest and authentic to who Lizzie would be today. It's what the character deserves. We can all take a moment to mourn the amazing woman she would have been and the adventures we would have taken with her. I'm very sad, but I promise everyone tried their best and the stars just didn't align. Hey now, this is what 2020 is made of." Just a dagger in the heart at the end there. But I have to say, if they weren't able to make the show that Hilary Duff wanted to make that would honor Lizzie in the best way and wouldn't be some like cheesy kid show, then I understand. Like, I'd rather them not make it at all then. But it's just crazy to me that they couldn't make this.
I find it insane because Disney owns Hulu. And if you don't feel like the show is appropriate to put on Disney, then why can't you put it on Hulu? A grown-up version of Lizzie McGuire. Everybody wants to see that. It would get... I can't even imagine the amount of views and the amount of people that would watch this damn show and the shows that they're putting out there on Netflix and Hulu and Peacock and HBO Max, and Lizzie McGuire can't get a reboot. It makes no sense to me. And I can't believe that
they reboot everything.
They reboot everything. And I can't believe they couldn't come to an agreement for this. I mean, you have Hilary Duff on board for this. It's not every day you get somebody on board that had an iconic show like this to come back as the main star. It's not every day that happens. You don't see Miley Cyrus doing a reboot of Hannah Montana. If that happened, people would buy it right away. Lizzie McGuire, iconic character. Hilary Duff wants to make this happen. She wants to be Lizzie again. How do you not make it happen? I think it was absolutely slacking on all parts, and Disney fucked up by not selling it to somebody else to make.
Yeah. To me, this sounds like we had a battle of some hard asses, you know? Like, Lizzie Lizzie, Hillary Duff and Hillary Duff and the creator of the show, you know, they wanted to make a more mature show that would honor Lizzie being in her 30s and going through life. That made a lot of sense. It seemed like the way Disney and Disney Plus didn't want it in that direction. So maybe they just got into like one of these situations where they're butting heads, nobody's budging, they're not going to budge, we're not going to budge. And because of that, it just falls apart. Nobody's willing to compromise. And by the way, Hillary should not have compromised because she had the right idea here. So here we are, just with no Lizzie reboot, which sucks because it felt we were so close. Like, they started filming. They were all on set. They had it. Like, it was there. And then that was when they realized, like, oh, this doesn't feel right. And they stopped. And they were never able to bring it back.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, we got pictures of them on set. Gordo and Lizzie posing together. Cute pictures. And yet, we're not getting it. We're not seeing a little bit of this show.
Just it's, robbed.
It's a disgrace. I really hope that one day they figure it out. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know who's going to pay the big bucks to Disney to get the rights to the show, get the script, be able to change it the way they like. But somebody's got to do it.
I hope so.
We're about to get into the Kim and Kanye discussion. And whenever I think of Kim and Kanye, I think of luxury. How about you guys? They are just rich and famous, and it screams luxury. And you know what?
Yep.
Luxury never sleeps, which is why you need the RealReal app. The RealReal is the largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury consignment. On the app, you can shop and sell top design.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3Chi.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
Sources are saying that Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are living totally separate lives, although they are still a family together with their kids. They are no longer living as if they are a couple.
Yeah, so this has been all over. I believe People was the first one to report it. It was on E! News. It's been on every outlet all week long. People magazine first reported saying, like you said, Rhea, very much live separate lives now, and that Kim has work and projects that are important to her and Kanye has his. Their lives don't overlap much. Still, the source says Kim seems happy and is very focused on work and causes. She strongly believes she can make a change when it comes to prison reform, the source says of the star, who is studying to become a lawyer and this week publicly pushed for President Donald Trump to commute the sentence of Brandon Bernard. And this is her passion, the source says, of Kardashian. Her family is very proud of her. West, meanwhile, has maintained a relatively low profile in recent weeks after thrusting himself into the spotlight this summer. We all know what he did, saying he was running for president. And that it's that all of this has kind of landed their marriage in a crisis. They reconnected in August. She wanted to do what's best for the kids. But now it's just like they're kind of doing their own thing and they're fine with it. And to be honest, that checks out. That makes sense to me. I just feel like they're on different pages right now. And Kim is so focused on other things that as long as the kids are happy, the relationship is kind of taking a backseat.
Listen, I've always been shocked the amount of kids that Kim and Kanye have together because I could never picture them having sex. Like, I feel like they are both so into each other that they would rather have sex with themselves than with each other. And fair enough, they're both focused on their careers and their lives. I think that Kim Kardashian at this point is working a lot more than Kanye is. Obviously, Kanye has worked for a very long time in the music industry, but it doesn't seem like he's doing that much of that right now, or maybe he is, we don't know. But Kim Kardashian has a million freaking businesses that she's running. She's all over the place, going to events everywhere, not right now, but in the past. So I feel like it does make sense that they are living separate lives, but of course they do have kids together and they're going to make it work for them. But I also think that Kanye for a while now has shown that he doesn't enjoy being a part of what the Kardashians are. I don't know why, but I mean, remember he was on Twitter calling Chris Kim Jong-un. Like, I feel like he's been pretty anti whatever's happening over there for a little bit. And Kim's not. Kim is focused on making that money, making businesses, pouring her heart into work. So I feel like they're probably going to stay separated. I would say it's heading for a divorce, but maybe they don't want that publicity because we know how that would be. But I don't see Kim Kardashian even dating anybody. Like, even if her and Kanye weren't together and they're divorced, I don't see Kim Kardashian getting into a relationship. I feel like she's very career driven. And maybe she'll have fun on the side, but I feel like she cares about her kids and she cares about her career. And then the relationship that comes last.
I can't even imagine who she could possibly date at this point. You know, like it's hard to even think about that, but it does seem clear that the relationship is not the priority right now. It's always been the kids and making sure that they are at least a united front. And Kim has her, you know, law school, everything that she's doing. She's so, so busy. So it's like, let's just keep doing life how we're doing it. If you want to be over here, you can do that. I'll be over here. And we can just kind of be more of partners instead of lovers type situation. And it makes sense. It just kind of feels like the image, the situation that they're in right now. And it makes me curious about the whole Kardashians reality TV situation. You know, it makes me curious on if Kanye and the state of Kanye played a role into Kim or, you know, or any of the family maybe wanting to take a step back from reality TV and not continuing with Keeping Up with Kardashians, but then maybe getting to the point where it's like, hey, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. We're living separate lives. I can do a show without his involvement perhaps. And then they sign that massive deal with Disney to come to Hulu at some point. So it's all very interesting. I'm curious to see how that plays out. Cause towards the end of Kardashians, it felt like maybe they're going to be skeptical about continuing this because of where Kanye is and how their relationship is in the public right now and what the rumors are about them. So it's interesting that now, you know, they're obviously going to Disney and going to have some kind of reality situation on Hulu.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Kanye is a part of that at all, because I did see on Dumois, they posted, somebody wrote in about Kanye and said that he's not involved with them whatsoever unless it has to do with PR or marketing. Yeah. And he lives in Wyoming and that Kim has never even been to his private place in Wyoming. So when I read the part about PR and marketing, I was like, so is he only in it for the reality show? Is it the opposite of what we think? Does Kanye not care about the reality show and actually that's what he wants to do? I mean, that would be crazy, obviously, but he was enjoying it for a little bit and he did know that Kim Kardashian was known from Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Like, he knew all about that. So it's interesting. I feel like he's now, we haven't heard from him for a little bit. So I feel like maybe he's just in Wyoming. He also has a place in LA apparently. And yeah, they're living separate lives. I feel like on the next season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, I think we're going to see a little bit of what happened, obviously, because it's the last season on E. Right. They're going to have to go out with a bang. They're going to have to let everyone know what's going on. We know that Kim and Khloe are the focus, basically, because the other ones don't want to film as much. So I would be shocked if we didn't see a lot of what had happened with Kim and Kanye.
lot of drama this week with Kristen Cavallari and the Southern Charm Boys. This has been very entertaining to follow along with, but we'll go through the timeline here. Austin from Southern Charm, you know, he's been very hot and cold with Madison. They have officially broken up. It seems like for good from how these two are talking about each other. Austin says he had to quit her cold turkey. Like, just they always seem like they had a little bit of a toxic relationship. Mm-hmm. And we got those vibes anytime we talked to them or talked to like Shep or Craig. They were always like Madison, but don't like Madison and Austin together. It's bad news. So they break up. Austin comments on one of Kristen Cavallari's Instagram saying, hey, you know, can't wait to see you. Madison then comments on the Instagram that Jay posted with Shannon being like, oh, can't wait. You know, the pettiness is alive and well. It's really thriving. Then Austin and Craig are hanging out with Kristen and Justin Anderson, Kristen's best friend and hairstylist. They're on Instagram Live. They're boozing. They're having a good time. Austin is carrying Kristen on her shoulders. They're dancing to Taylor Swift, which then led to, you know, Madison saying a lot of petty things, Kristen saying they're not dating. Jeff Dye, the comedian that she's allegedly dating, was tweeting things about it. It's just, it's such low level, like, reality TV drama that is just chef's kiss, perfection.
It is so damn good. I love having single Kristen Cavallari. It brings me back to Laguna Beach. It brings me back to the hills. It makes me feel good and alive inside. Seeing Kristen Cavallari thrive as a single lady, like, we're getting all the drama. She doesn't give a fuck. That's the thing. We've always said Jay Cutler doesn't give a fuck. Kristen Cavallari has been dealing with what people are saying about her since she was in high school. Like, this is nothing to her. I think she enjoys this sort of thing. Why wouldn't you, when that's what you grow up on? You're going to be fiending for that attention your entire life in some way, shape, or form, I would assume. Not a bad thing. That's what she did. She was a reality TV star at a very young age. So I feel like this is no thing to her, but it's entertaining for all of us. I think that, you know, she says her and Austin aren't dating. Of course, they may not be dating, but they were fueling the fire there. She knew the same thing with Stephen Colletti, that when she sat on his lap, that would happen. She knows what she's doing. But Austin Kroll definitely wants to hook up with Kristen Cavallari. Oh, definitely.
1,000,000%.
That guy and any guy would die to hook up with Kristen Cavallari. So I know for a fact he was probably trying. I don't know. Kristen was probably flirting along, but Austin definitely wanted it more. I don't know anything about them, but I'm going to just assume that he really wanted to.
So it was also just optics-wise, very sexy. Like, Kristen was in a very sexy outfit. Mm-hmm. Austin is very tall. So when you're on his shoulders, you're up high, you're living life. Like, they were just, I know that doesn't seem like it should be an important tidbit, but Austin is very tall. It makes him very, like, the tallness factor, people are very attracted to, you know, tall people.
And also, when you're so short like Kristen Cavallari, I feel like any really tall person to you is, like, extra hot because you can't even really see their face from how short you are.
Yes. So Jeff Dye tweeted, he wishes winky face.
Oh, God. Kristen Cavallari's got to get rid of that guy.
Yeah, this guy's got to go.
You got to go.
He tweeted, he wishes. And then Austin had told Us Weekly that he obviously assumed that tweet was about him. He said, you know, it's probably about me. I mean, I'm not here to cause any problems. We just had fun with our friends. And he said, there's no Austin and Kristen. You know, it's just funny. Kristen is a beautiful, driven girl. Clearly, you know what I'm attracted to. But she has a lot on her plate. She's going through her own stuff. So it is definitely fair where Austin's like, yo, Kristen Cavallari is so hot. Would totally like to hook up with her. Do I want to date her with everything that's going on in her life? Probably not. I don't think Austin is at that, like, stepfather level kind of situation. And so it's just, like, way more entertaining. I mean, Justin Anderson is the puzzle piece that keeps them all glued together. Because without Justin, the pettiness doesn't come out as much. I think Kristen would be a little bit more hesitant of putting some of this stuff online, but Justin, he's going on IG Live. He's doing Instagram stories with her when they're wasted. Like, he went on IG Live and put this all out there. Like, Justin loves to stir the pot. They played Mean by Taylor Swift, and he literally said into the camera, "Why you gotta be so mean, Madison?" Like, it's poetic drama.
It is, but also, did you just say IG Live?
IG Live.
Do you abbreviate Instagram in real life?
No. I think I only ever do it for IG Live, X. And this is maybe the first time I've ever done it.
That took me off guard. I was like,
I don't think I have ever said that before until right now.
I've never heard you say it before. It just came out, and I was like, wait, now we're abbreviating Instagram in real life? IG Live.
No, yeah.
Okay, we're on IG Live, though, and yeah, you're right. It was getting petty, but it's great. It's great drama. I'm loving to watch it. Loving to watch it. That's not a phrase. Whatever. We'll move past it.
We are loving to watch it, though.
Yeah, I guess that works. Kristen Cavallari also, like you said, she looks phenomenal. And I feel like this Jeff Dye guy, you don't have to tweet something like that. If you got the girl, you don't have to tweet shit. You got the girl. All it does is
make him look bad.
Yeah, you got to come across a little more confident than that.
Yeah.
Because if you're tweeting something like that, it seems like you may be insecure about this relationship, and you should be, because let me tell you, Kristen Cavallari is not settling down with you. She's going to be playing the field, or at least I hope she does. I want to see Kristen Cavallari out there dancing on guys' shoulders, having a good ass time, possibly on a new reality TV show about her life on like MTV, or maybe Join the Hills again. Please just Join the Hills again.
Look, if Kristen wants to, I tune into Southern Charm every once in a while. I definitely don't stay up to date that often. If Kristen Cavallari wants to like swoop in and just take over Southern Charm, I could not be more down for that. Just like for her to just come in and become the star of Southern Charm, because a lot of the female cast members have left the show. There's been a lot of different drama this season. Maybe it just needs like a full rebrand, and that rebrand is Kristen Cavallari just coming in and doing her thing. You know, she says that she posted on her story, you know, oh, I can't be, didn't know I couldn't be friends with guys, or, you know, guess I can't have any guy friends right now. So she's saying that she and Austin are just friends, but quite entertaining. I think she would even, let's test it out. Maybe a couple guest spots on Southern Charm, see what happens.
True, but I want her on The Hills. I'll start watching The Hills again if she's on.
Yeah, they're just too far away.
Oh, I forgot. She doesn't live there.
Yeah.
Move to LA. Move to LA, Kristen. Get your life back.
Let's go.
Rewind.
You don't need to be in Nashville anymore.
Yeah. Leave the kids with Jay. Go be a reality TV star. Just kidding. I have to say just kidding nowadays, because this is another thing on this show. I say a lot of jokes. Or like, I'm not like, but like I say a lot of things and I'm joking, and people have been taking them more serious than ever. And I'm like, I'm most of the time joking. And I would like to not have to say I'm joking after every joke, but sometimes you just got to throw it in there.
JK, LOL.
Yeah. Like that's what I feel like. I'm like, JK.
Yeah. But no, it is funny. It is. I think it would be great if she kind of fell seamlessly back into The Hills, but logistically, I don't think it works. I think she would have to end up somewhere else, which is why Southern Charm could be the one.
It works. It does work.
A new series coming to Hulu. It is going to be about Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee. It's going to be a new limited series going by. Right now, the working title is Pam and Tommy. Maybe they change that. but they cast the show, and it's interesting. It's going to be Lily James and Sebastian Stan signed on to play Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee. We've been talking a lot about Lily James in the last, you know, few months, not for good reason, but she gets this role, which is huge. And Sebastian Stan, you know, Gilmore Girls, Gossip Girl, and the Marvel movies. It's interesting. I texted you guys about this. I was like, I don't know if I love this or hate this.
Lily James has one affair with Dominic West, and now she's playing Pamela Anderson.
now she's a bad girl.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't like this casting, but that doesn't mean they're not going to do a good job, because I feel like that's what happens in these scenarios, right? Lily James, she probably read the script, really wanted to play Pamela Anderson. They probably thought, Lily James, Pamela Anderson, that doesn't make sense. She auditioned. It was a great audition. Or she read for it. She got the part. I can't see them offering this role to Lily James with her not reading for it, not auditioning, not meeting people beforehand, because Lily James is not screen Pamela Anderson in any way, shape, or form. Initial thought is, why is she playing Pamela Anderson? Why is Lily James playing Pamela Anderson? She's very proper. You don't really see her in roles like this.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me, but I bet she's going to be good. I don't think they would put her in this position and give her the role of Pamela Anderson if she didn't fucking nail a read at it. Like, I think she had to have won them over. So I think it's going to be good. Although initial reaction is it makes no sense.
Right. I agree with you, because it's just something we've never seen her do before, which makes us all raise our eyebrows. Like you said, she could totally crush it. But you think Lily James, so proper, British, Downton Abbey, Cinderella, like all of these, Mamma Mia, like very pretty.
Innocent
roles. Yes, very like pure. And that's just not Pamela Anderson. I feel like Lily James is always in her British accent. Or some kind of accent. Does she have an accent in Mamma Mia? No.
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 She didn't have an accent. No. She didn't have an accent in Baby Driver either.
Yeah, Baby Driver.
Oh, I never saw Baby Driver.
Great movie.
And I think it's also because I always think of her as Cinderella. Like, I've watched that Cinderella a billion times. So I always think of that, which is quite literally the opposite of Pamela Anderson. So it's very interesting. I do like the Sebastian Stan. I think Sebastian Stan is in a good position to do something really cool with this, because we haven't seen him in this type of role. I think most people would know him from Captain America and like the Marvel movies. So this is obviously very different, but looks wise, I get it. Not as much for Lily James. I feel like, I don't know. It's hard. Lily James is beautiful, so it's like,
right. She's so beautiful, and Pamela Anderson is so beautiful, but they look nothing alike. I think that's actually why I'm most thrown off, is that they look nothing alike. But they're both obviously very, very beautiful. They just don't look alike at all.
Blonde.
So, but Lily James is not even blonde in the way that Pamela Anderson is blonde. So
correct.
I just feel like she doesn't look like Pamela Anderson at all. And that's why I'm being thrown off. And maybe they'll make her look like Pamela Anderson and that will work. Yeah. But she looks nothing like her. But the thing is, MGK, who played Tommy Lee in The Dirt, he looked nothing like Tommy Lee. They made him look like him. So whatever. I also think it would have been cool to see him in this role, just because he had worked with Tommy Lee directly to become Tommy Lee. I'm sure the same will happen maybe possibly for this, but I don't really know if Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson will be so involved in this project, considering it's about them as a couple and they do not get along at all.
Yeah.
So I feel like that would be kind of odd.
It's a different vibe for the whole series.
Right. When The Dirt was out, it was about Motley Crue. So Tommy Lee having a say in how MGK acts makes sense. So that would have been cool, but maybe Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson don't really approve of this show that's coming out about them.
That's also very possible. Very possible. And, you know, a lot of times you look at a casting, you're like, they don't really have to look like the person. I understand that. But when it is about two figures like this, it does make sense to have a likeness where there is some connection to what they really look like in real life.
And especially Pamela Anderson is so known for her looks.
Iconic.
It's just such an iconic look that it's like,
right,
that's Pamela Anderson. But I will say Kendall Jenner looks nothing like Pamela Anderson, but when they made her up to look like Pamela Anderson, she looked like Pamela Anderson.
Just like her. Yep, so that's very true.
So I feel like they could make
Makeup's
Lily
a powerful thing.
Like, yeah, they can make her look like Pamela Anderson, but because Pamela Anderson has such an iconic look, you think, who could even look like Pamela Anderson? Who would you even put up against as an actress for Pamela Anderson and say, hey, she looks like Pamela Anderson? I don't think anybody comes
it's
to
impossible.
Mind. So...
Yeah, no, it's impossible. So it's exciting. I think that's something that is very interesting and I will look forward to watching because they have one of those relationships that is just so dramatic and wildly entertaining from the outsider's point of view.
Absolutely. One of the first celebrity sex tapes.
Mm-hmm. So, I wonder if that'll play out in the show. We don't really know how many details. We don't have any details about the show, really, except for this casting.
Yeah.
The working title is Pam and Tommy. Like, it's, we don't, they haven't made, it doesn't seem like it's totally,
You gotta get a new title for that.
It doesn't seem like the board is totally complete yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Working title. I'm gonna hope they change that.
Yeah. Pam and Tommy, I'm clicking, but also, let's come up with something better. For the sake of Pam and Tommy.
Yeah.
Sounds like John and Kate plus 8, like a reality.
Yeah, like it just Pam and Tommy just doesn't.
They
really...
sound like two like a suburban couple from
They don't sound cool at all.
Chatham, New Jersey. Pam and Tommy gonna go meet Pam and Tommy at the club for dinner. Have a great interview with Caitlin Bristowe coming up. We're talking about Dancing with the Stars, bringing home that mirror ball. And you know what? Caitlin was on the move. She was dancing her ass off all season long. So I'm sure by the time she got back to Nashville, she would love a moment to chill just like we do. And I hope she reached for it.
No joke, I think I might have a cane sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
Okay. Talking a lot, and you know what? Afterwards, I just want to sit in silence and have an ice cold Coors Light. So that's why Coors Light is one we choose when we need a moment to unwind. So when you want to hit the reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. And always remember to celebrate responsibly. This is coming from the Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado.
All right, everyone. We are here with a very, very special guest. You all know her.
Not everybody gets two varies.
No, they do not. We are here with Caitlin Bristowe, a.k.a. our newest mirror ball champion. Yeah. Welcome back to the show, Caitlin.
There she is.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, my God. It's beautiful.
Isn't it? It is really beautiful. You know what's funny is I was with Hannah B. for a day when I was in LA and I saw her trophy and I was like, oh, I can't touch it. That's bad luck. But she was like, no, you can touch this one because it's mine. Everybody gets their own. I thought it was like one that goes around like the Stanley Cup, mm-hmm. like you put your name on it and it goes around. But I touched hers and I was like, oh, it's pretty light. And she was like, oh, yeah, it's like hot glued together right now. And I was laughing about it. But I got this sucker and I'm like, what? This is nothing like that one. And they're like, we actually started upgrading them this year. And it's so heavy. And I was so nervous to travel with it from LA to Nashville because I was like, oh, I got a lot of it breaks. But she made it and we're good.
That's fantastic. You know what? I've actually always been curious about that because it's like you see the mirror ball, but it's like, does everybody get one? Like, do you have it? Like, does Artem have one too?
Yeah, he does. We both got one. There's like, you know, the one that they show on TV that's like, oh my gosh, it was just so sparkly. And yeah. Did you see? Okay, this is so Artem's relationship with me that in my head, I'm like, okay, you can't touch it until you win it. And I was in such shock that we won that I was like, when they're like, go get your trophy. And he was like, go. He's like getting mad at me for not picking it up. And I was like, okay, God, stop yelling at me. It was so funny.
It's like the spirit stick for cheerleading. Like you don't want to touch it or you don't want to drop it because then that curses your entire team.
Exactly like that.
Can you put it up to the screen so that we can get a closer look at it? Sorry, I just really want to get a nice
really
look
at this
baby.
Full look.
Yeah. Oh wow. My God, my eyes are blinded. They're blinded.
I know. Isn't it so pretty?
You know what? It is beautiful, and I do like that. I feel like this season they have said that they have tried to, you know, revamp. They made changes, obviously, and. Yeah. The fact that they upgraded the trophy, probably the best thing they did.
Yeah,
I agree. I would have to agree with that.
It's so bad. I have no chance. Sometimes.
At what?
Oh, going on Dancing with the Stars. Fran really wants to go on Dancing with the Stars. But
oh my God. I would love that.
Yeah, you know, it's something for down the line, maybe. I've watched Dancing with the Stars for so long, and I love it, but I'm such a bad dancer. Like,
that doesn't matter.
I know, but I feel like I would kind of be like a Nikki Glaser situation. Like Nikki, so great. Like she was funny on the show. People liked her, but like she was off in the first week. I'm like, that would be me.
I know. That's so sad. It's so funny because, you know, you like to think, or I like to think that I won because I'm a good dancer, but really it's a voting show. It's who people want to stay there. And I feel like Bachelor Nation was like, well, actually the Bella Army, Bachelor Nation, the Vinos, like everyone I feel like wanted me to get that so bad because they know how badly I wanted it for so long that I'm like, thank you to them.
Yeah,
that is very true.
You honestly did a great job. You really were a great dancer, and we talked about it and we were like, Caitlin and Neve by far the best, you know what I mean? Like either of them, they deserve to win. And like you said, the people, they showed up for you. What was going through your mind basically throughout the entire time that you were filming, because you were in quarantine, you're working hard, you got hurt. Take us through the roller coaster that was Dancing with the Stars.
It really was a roller coaster. And I was trying to, because, you know, it was the pandemic. So it's not like we're hanging out with the other dancers. So I couldn't gauge, like, if this was normal for my body to go through this or if other people were, like, having a really hard time. And I remember one time, like, there was, I think, Justina and Neve just, like, back-to-back walk out of the physical therapist office, like, all taped up and limping. I'm like, okay, this is normal. Actually, nobody really knows this. I don't think I've said it yet, but I had a false positive COVID test while I was on the show. Week one was great. Week two, ankle injury. Week three, ankle not good, and a false positive COVID test. I thought I was done. I thought I was going to have to say to everyone, you know what? I have COVID and I can't continue on this journey. I was hysterically bawling. I had to get 3 tests in a row after that. And if they all came back negative, I could go back on the show. And they were. It was a false positive. And it was like one thing after another. And then it was like the Carrie Ann stuff. And then I was just having a really hard time because 6 hours a day, 7 days a week. And everything just kind of got the best of me. At one point, I was so insecure that I was like, this is right back to my 20s when I knew I wasn't good enough to be a dancer. I don't feel good enough again. Like, it was such a roller coaster. So then at the end, when Tyra took like a full commercial break pause to announce the winner, I was like, if she says my name, I'm going to feel like I really worked hard and deserve this. Like, please say my name. So when she did, it was just such a surreal moment. because you guys know the history of me supposed to be on the show and yep. everything that's happened. It was just so wild to hear her call my name and Artem's and be like, we friggin' did it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I like, so, you know, we talked about obviously your win on the show and it was hard because when it gets down to the end, everybody's so good and everybody like supports who they support and is what it yeah. is. It's yeah. like Neve was so great, but Rhea and I were like, look, if Neve won, we would have been like, you know what? He deserved it. He's fantastic. Yeah. He like Neve should be on Broadway. Like, I don't know what yeah. he had the wrong career, like his whole life.
Yeah, yeah, for real.
And it would have been great. And we would have been like that. Oh, like Caitlyn works so hard, but they're so good. And it's, you said the same thing. Caitlyn wins. So happy for Caitlyn. She's wanted this for so long. How can you not like, so it's yeah. so easy to like kind of get angry about it sometimes, but it's like, oh, you just gotta, these people work their asses off to get to the finale. And at that point, it's like, it's, you know, like you said, people vote and people yeah. definitely well, came out.
Well, when people were saying like, of course, no matter who won, all of the people that were rooting for Neve were going to say like he was robbed. If yeah. it, you know, the Justina fans were going to say, but I was like, you know what? Nobody was robbed. All four of us in the finals worked so hard to be there. And it wasn't more like nobody was robbed. It was like everyone deserved it. And I just like, I know how even Nelly, I'm like, that guy worked his butt off to be there and was still doing his own career. Like, we all have other things going on that we're trying to do. And I mean, you don't get a day off. It is game on every day, hours and hours in the studio, no days off. Like, it's really challenging. So I feel like everyone that was there was like, I'm like, I know we're all working so hard. And I almost found myself rooting for others because I just know how much work is put into it.
A hard time to root for Nelly.
Right. I mean, listen. Oh, I'm a huge yeah. fucking Nelly fan. Grill yeah. by Nelly was my number one like 2000 song on my Spotify rap. Like I'm, oh, you know, I'm still yeah. listening to Nelly these days. So I was like, oh, he's so good. But also like you said, everyone is so deserving. Everyone works so hard and everyone has their unique journey on how they got there. Yours yeah. specifically, we were rooting the hardest for because we know that you weren't allowed to go on originally.
And right.
all these other people go on Dancing with the Stars. Hannah Brown won last year. We were so excited for her. I remember I like was crying when she won because I was like, that's just aww. An amazing moment. And then for you, I was crying as well. I was like, what is happening? I'm just like crying every time somebody wins Dancing with the Stars because it's just like it's yeah. like a happy-go-lucky show. You know what I mean?
It really
like,
is.
The dancing, the numbers. But going back to Hannah Brown winning last year, I did see like a lot of people were a little nervous this year because they were like, are they, you know, is some, even if Caitlyn gets the votes, are they going to have somebody else win so that people don't think, you know, yeah. oh, it's an ABC thing?
Yeah.
Were you thinking that at all?
Oh yeah, that was, I mean, that went through my head from the second I got asked to be on the show right. till right up until Tyra said my name. I was always like, okay, well surely that would just look too obvious if it was like ABC, like exactly what you said, but also that makes me believe that, okay, maybe they do pay attention to the votes and maybe that is a real thing. But that's the whole time I was standing there waiting for Tyra to say the winner, I just kept hearing her, and we all know I'm a big manifester, and usually I would be like, she's going to say my name. I was like, she's going to say Neve's name. And I was preparing mentally for that because I just kept saying they're not going to have two bachelorettes win back to back. And that was in my mind, as negative as that is for me to do, but that was in the back of my head the whole time.
Yeah, I think it would be for anybody, to be completely totally. Honest, because, yeah. you know,
you have to prepare yourself for the worst.
You have to prepare yourself for the worst. And I think anybody yeah. in that situation would be like, you know, because we even thought it, and prior mm-hmm. to winning, we talked about it on our show, and we were like, listen, we want Caitlyn to win. We think she has the potential to win, but yeah. will they hold back? Yeah. But also, that would not be fair. And why even have right. you on the show if they weren't going to let you win? And clearly, they did the right thing, and they let the vote speak for themselves.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Let me tell you, I don't know if you saw this, but a certain man with the initials MF did tweet some congratulations and literally like in the heat of the moment of like how excited really I was, I literally was like, like I almost like retweeted and got like angry, but then I was like, I just let him do his own thing. But like,
That's where I'm at.
What's the, yes, like how, when you look back at that time now, when you were like, obviously went through everything where you weren't able to be on the show, and now, like, how validating was this season?
Yeah, it was so interesting because I saw that tweet and I just, it's so hard because it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
Truthfully, I'm glad I didn't go on 5 years ago now. Everything happens for a reason. I was so angry for so long, but it made me just proud because I realized that even if it takes 5 years, if you stay true to who you are and you stand up for yourself, and even if it means you could be pissing off the head of someone you should probably be, you know, like trying to impress, if it's what you believe in and you're just standing up for yourself, like, karma is such a real thing and it will all come around. And I like to think that he's learned through this too. So I just tried to take that tweet as like, okay, you know what? Sure, we did it.
Yeah. Thanks.
And at this point, I mean, you won. So like, it is what it is. And I think you're right. Like, it probably was better that you went on now and not 5 years ago, because think about how much you've probably learned to deal with, you know, being in the public eye and what people will say. And I think, you know, 5 years ago, you're just getting thrown into everything and everything's coming at you at once. I think it's so much better that this happened.
I would have been a jaded mess 5 years ago. I would have been like, everybody's out to get me. These producers are like trying to mess with me. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have been able to take the experience for what it was because I would have been too jaded. On top of like the relationship I had just gotten into, being engaged, like you're still getting to know somebody. I would have been, I don't know how Hannah did it, because I've never been more tired in my life from coming off Bachelor and Bachelorette. And then the amount of work that is put into, like, the physically demanding work that's put in to Dancing with the Stars. I don't know how she did it, because I was like a train wreck during the whole thing, just from being so mentally and physically tired. And I can't imagine coming off Bachelor to Bachelorette to that.
Yeah. I remember when she finished Dancing with the Stars and it was like, I'm going to chill for a little bit, cause I've been on everybody's television screen for Monday night, for like an entire year. So time to just kind of relax. But it was, I mean, it's so crazy. And like you said, it's a totally different mindset. And because you were kind of, I don't want to say like where the drama was, but there's always, as family friendly as Dance with the Stars is, like, there was a little drama. Yeah. And it kind of had to do with like, is Carrie Ann like picking on Caitlin? Is this like, is this feeling personal? What's going on here now? And obviously hindsight is 2020. So now looking back, what did you kind of think of all that?
Yeah, at first, okay, well, there's so many things I thought, because in my mind I go, okay, like, this is a TV show. She's a judge. I'm the quote unquote celeb. Artem's the pro. Like, we all have a role here. And Carrie Ann's like, think about American Idol. There's the Simon Cowells. Like, there's always got to be a judge that's hard on somebody. And so I tried to think of it that way. Then I was like, wait, she dated Artem. Is this personal? And then I was like, she had a hard time with Hannah last year. And then you just start getting in your head about what it could be and forgetting, like, no, this is a TV show. And they're, you know, it's her opinion. And I will say, I was so thrown off when she said certain things to me, like, you know, I felt like this was another not great dance, or I felt like you gave up. In the moment, I'm like, I can't even breathe right now because I tried so hard and it was such a hard dance. And I'm like trying to catch my breath to speak. How can you say I gave up? But I will say that is the one dance I watch back and go, oh, because I was supposed to be a villain, a spicy little Cruella de Vil. I looked like a 90-year-old grandma. Like, everything was just not working with me. To do a Paso Doble to a Rihanna song was hard because that's not the proper counts or the music. I was like, I'm not a masculine dancer, where that's a very masculine style of dance. And it was just all around a really tough one for me. And I know exactly where she's talking about when she said she felt like I gave up, because I watched it back searching, trying to figure out what she was talking about. And there was this one move that Artem worked on with me for like a full week. And I finally got it towards the end. And then I went out there and screwed it up. And I think you saw it in my face where I was like, oh, I should have stayed in character. But I think that's what she was talking about. So looking back, I kind of love that that all happened, because if you have a dream and something that you're passionate about and something that you love to do, and it finally happens for you, you don't want it to be just the smooth sailing, easy road. You want to look back and be like, I worked my tits off for that trophy. And like, I wouldn't have wanted it to be a smooth sailing ride.
Yeah. Right. And it kind of pushed you a little bit more, I bet, hearing that criticism. You're like, all right, well, I gotta go harder next week. I gotta keep going.
I mean, she knows how to work me, because that's how I get fire lit under my butt, is someone like not believing in me. Or I even have a sweater. I bought it after, actually that night. It was, okay, this is like Instagram targeting, yeah, for sure.
Yep.
The sweater came up on my, you know, an ad, and it was, underestimate me, that'll be fun. And I was like, yep, sold. You swipe got me Instagram. Yep. Yep. I swiped right the F up on that one. Yeah, but that's so me. I'm like, you tell me it's not great, or you don't know. I'm like, well, I'll show you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So thank you, Carrie Ann.
Yeah. Thanks, Carrie Ann, for the mirror ball. Yeah.
What was it like preparing? Obviously, you know, you got to get your body ready for this kind of physical activity. Did you have to cut some things out of your diet? I mean, you know, we all love McDonald's, but was that like a thing of the past? And did you, what was it like just preparing physically for Dancing with the Stars?
Like before I went on or during?
During.
Oh, no, everyone's like, you're going to be in the best shape of your life. You're going to lose all this weight. And I was like, I could have, but I chose to eat McDonald's pizza. Like, I was crushing so much bad food the whole time I was in LA, because I love LA West Coast food. I felt like Nashville just doesn't have the best, like, seafood, and that's my favorite kind of food. So I feel like I was just like taking advantage of all the restaurants that were around me in this area. I would drink wine every single night. Like, there were so many things I could have done to literally get in the best shape of my life, but I was like, I'm burning so many calories, I'm just gonna eat whatever I want.
I love it. That's honestly the way to go, because I feel like if you're not eating the shit you want to eat, and you're also working out the amount of hours that you're working out, yeah, you're going to be a miserable person. You're just going to be like, my life is terrible, I'm not enjoying anything. At least you ate good food and drank good wine to like reward yourself.
Yes, that's exactly what I did, and I have no regrets. It was amazing.
Love that. So you and Jason and the pups were like all out in LA, and I gotta say, like, Jason was so funny to watch throughout all this. Also, like, we all joked in the Trent, and like, you know, everyone who does the Bachelor stuff, being like, is Jason okay? Like, he's been quarantined for a while. Is his Instagram stories, like, is he all right? Like, just like, is he losing his mind?
I think he was slowly but surely losing his mind.
Which is why we were dying when it was like, oh, all right, they won, she can go back to Nashville. Like, so happy, because, but it was so great, because he immersed himself in that process for you so much. Yeah. Where like, he was there for you in this, and it wasn't about him.
Yeah.
That was like so, so great. But how did you guys handle, on top of being on the show, doing like this full lockdown apartment, LA, like nothing?
Yeah, that it could have been hell, to be honest with you. It really was a high risk, high reward move, having the whole fam, including two dogs, in an LA apartment where they just, like, they didn't understand the apartment life. Like, Pino kept having accidents, and he's like, what, I don't get where the door is. Like, they couldn't just go out to the backyard, and Jason's like trying to, you know, start a business and really like put everything he has into that while trying to stay sane for me, because I'd come home sometimes in tears, or sometimes I'd be like, I want to show you this, and blah, blah, blah. And like, I was always, he never knew what he was going to get when I came home, not knowing what mood I was going to be in. So he always was ready for whatever, with like a glass of wine for me. He'd be like, what do you want to eat? He'd make sure the apartment was clean, a candle was lit. Like, he was just so, he's such a level-headed, just stable guy, and the best hype man you could ever ask for. So that combination really worked for him. But I will say, at the same time, I'm pretty sure he was losing his shit. Like, he called it the sky cage, because being in like the apartment, because of my false scare with COVID, I was like, we are not taking any risks. If anyone comes over, they have to get two rapid tests, show us the results. We're still going to social distance. Like, I took it so seriously. And so he, you know, something that really makes him feel sane is working out. And he couldn't do that. And he was like, he was losing his shit in that place, but he held it together. And it's funny because you could really tell when we got home how happy he was to be home. It's like he calmed down a little bit. He wasn't all over the map. He was like not spraying champagne everywhere and losing his mind. But yeah, it was fun. I almost had more fun watching his reactions than to like go home and watch myself back, because I'm like, you are into this and I love it.
Yeah, his reaction video to you winning was one of the best I've ever seen. It was so adorable, but also just like you said, like the biggest hype man. You could tell it was almost like he won. Like he was like, I did it. It's over.
Yeah, I think he did feel that way. I think his reaction was better than mine. And I was like, that was one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And his reaction was even better. Like, I went to do the press line after on Zoom and talked to all these outlets. And they're like, have you seen Jason's video yet? And I'm like, no, people keep saying this. And then somebody showed me and I was like, oh dear God, like he is very excited. And he sprayed champagne. I'm like thinking about like the, you know, when you put money down to like the damage deposit for the apartment, I'm like,
yeah, we're not getting that back.
Sorry. That's on Dancing with the Stars. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was great because there was the reaction video, but on top of that, like watching him watch your dances where he would like film himself. He's like, yeah, hit that step. Like, let's go. He's like, you did it. Like, he's like, I'm like, oh my God, it was so great.
Literally gave me like good feedback sometimes. Like I would show him and he's like, oh, you got to pop that move. You got to pop that. And I'd be like, oh my God, I do have to pop that. Like, and like something I would work on next time. Like he just knew as a viewer what I needed to like work on and what he wanted to see. And it was so funny. He's a treat.
Yeah. Oh, I love watching you guys. Honestly, I'm just like, I'm so happy they're together because it just seems like it's working. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somebody like Jason support you like that, because I feel like some men out there, they get like insecure or whatever it is. But Jason is just like, Caitlin's my girl. She's crushing it. And I'm going to support her the entire way.
Yeah, there's no lack of confidence in that one. There really is not. He's, you know, I think, like you said, a lot of guys get emasculated by women's success. And that's just so not him, and it never has been him. And you can just tell by, you know, just who he is as a person, who he is with his family, what his family's like he's just, he can't fathom not supporting something like that. Like it's just like what he's almost like, why wouldn't I? That's incredible,
right? Like that doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't I support?
Speaking
of the family, this just reminded me, you guys had to watch your season of Bachelorette. Past, I think it was the end of spring or summer.
The greatest seasons ever, right?
Yeah, the greatest seasons ever. The Instagram stories were hilarious, and I'm sure that was just a little insight to what happened. So what was it really like watching that back?
That was so interesting because I have had so much anxiety over that show, over just like from coming off of it and knowing that if it ever gets brought up, it was like a very sore subject for my ex. And it was always just something I had to like tiptoe around, and it was, and I started, obviously once we broke up, I started getting past that and started to enjoy watching the show again. And I enjoy like the talking to producers and just being involved again. I like kind of forgot how much those people actually meant to me. And then when they said they were going to re-air it, I was like, oh, I'm going to go backwards. This is a slippery slope. I'm going to like not be okay. Mm-hmm. And so they sent me the episode and I watched it once by myself, and I didn't think I was going to watch it at all, but I was like, I'm going to watch it by myself. And I just kind of watched it through the lens of, this is why I have what I have. This is what it took to get here. Such a pivotal time in my life. What a crazy ride to be the Bachelorette. Like I tried to watch it kind of like as a proud mom. Look what you did. And so it was interesting to watch it the first time. I laughed, I cried, I was angry, I was happy, all these emotions I felt. so that when it came on and I was at Jason's family's house, I didn't think we were going to watch it. And I was like, well, I've already watched it. And his mom was like, oh no, we're watching. And I was like, oh, are you sure you want to watch it? And she was like, oh yeah. And she's like, I'm going to be there for you. We're going to have champagne. And like, she was so great about it. And so we watched it, and it did help that there's like that cherry on top where I knew at the end they were asking, you know, me to be on dancing because it was pre-filmed. So yeah. I knew the world was going to be able to see that I'm like going to be able to do that. I knew it wasn't going to be like a sad ending, like, oh, and it didn't work out. It was like, and now this next step in your life. So it was a roller coaster.
Yeah, it just, like you said, it took all that to get to this spot, and you know, yeah. Having Chris Harrison ask you to go on the show was like just full circle. We all thought, like, I was like, is he retiring? Like, is Caitlin the new host of the show? Like, what is
my thought? It's crazy. Like, that would never happen. Yeah. And that came to my mind before him asking me to go on Dancing with the Stars. Like, I was like, couldn't think of anything else.
I know, which was so, so great. And the, you know, the show was so great. And I guess what else did I want to ask before we wrap up? Oh, Dancing with the Stars. I know you guys obviously couldn't interact as much as, you know, past seasons where I feel like people get to know each other really well, but it seems like there was some connection. I've got to say, Chriselle and Kia look like they're dating now. So
yes.
Like, were you guys all able to kind of see each other at the end? Because, you know, the sources said that the rest of the cast really felt their vibes.
Is that what it said? Oh,
yes.
Well, yeah, because, okay, so we tried to not put like a lot on social media if we were hanging out, but because we were all tested every day.
Oh, yeah.
We knew that this one small group of us was, you know, safe, being safe. And we were still trying to be really smart about it. So there's a couple times we'd go over to Keo's house and Chriselle would be there. And it was always so interesting because, you know, with Gleb as her partner and that whole divorce happening, it's so sad that women always jump to the pretty girl who definitely was a home wrecker. And the whole time I'm like, oh, if you guys only knew, like, her and Keo clearly have a crush on each other. Mm-hmm. And like, so it was, I felt so bad for Chriselle going through all those rumors because she was like, I'm like, Gleb was like a good friend of hers and Keo's best friend. And they would all hang out like with Gleb's wife and everything at the time. But yeah, we would all hang out together, like not even a handful of times, like maybe three times. And Keo would always tell me how much he liked Chriselle, and Chriselle would always tell me how smitten she was, but she was always worried about the age difference. And I was like, he's one of the most mature 31-year-olds like I've ever met. And he treats people with so much respect and love, and he just has the best heart. And I'm so glad they're going to like try and make it work because they're two of the sweetest souls.
That big of an age difference. Like when I saw like quotes being like, oh, she was worried about the age difference, I was like, oh, thinking that it was like a lot, but I'm like, 8 years, like that's Hollywood, that's nothing.
Yeah,
nothing, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, that's great that when we saw those pictures, we were like, whoa, okay, this is not where we thought that was going, but this is amazing.
Right.
I know, I'm so happy that she's giving him a chance because I think it could really work for them.
Love it. Well, Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us, our Dancing with the Stars champion.
Thank you guys for being so supportive the whole season. You were so sweet.
Absolutely. Of course. Like every Monday night, I was texting in our group chat, like, guys, are you watching? Like, Caitlin's up. It's coming. Like, make sure you're voting. Everybody vote.
I don't watch every season of Dancing with the Stars. Hand up. I'm not as dedicated as Fran is, but I voted for you every single time.
Oh my God. You're the best. Thank you. I may
have told other people that I would vote for them, but I'm voting for
you. That's okay. I get it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. People were like, did you vote for yourself? And I'm like, I actually only did twice. I forgot like that I could text my own name and like send it in. I was like asking everyone else to, and I looked back on my phone and I was like, oh my God, I only voted for myself twice.
How humble of you.
That is so funny.
I threw a Chriselle in there one time.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm an emotional voter. So when I look back, I'd be like, Caitlin, and then I'd be like, oh, Neve got one, Nelly got one. Like, you know who I loved? I loved Vernon Davis.
So, oh my gosh, he is such a lovely person.
Oh, like I loved him on the show. I always have a soft spot for football players on the show.
Reaction.
So I was just like, oh, like I got a couple Vernons in there.
Yeah, Vernon was so sweet. I laughed so hard the other day. I don't know if you guys do follow him on social media.
I don't.
He posted something like a selfie and he said like I missed dancing or something, and then he tagged like furniture companies and NFL companies and like all these different people, and then he was like hashtagging furniture, and like if you just go and look, I'm like, what? I don't get it. And I was so confused because he literally just like acting was in there, hashtag acting, hashtag movies, hashtag film. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, and I just think it's like so funny when people do that, like the over tags of like nothing that even makes sense with your post.
I love that. That's just somebody who like doesn't use social media that much that is like, isn't this what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, it was cute.
Love it. Love it. All right. Well, Kaylin, thank you so much for joining us. We're so, like you said, we love you. We're so happy for you. And this is the bad thing about when you come on our show, because we are friends. So I'm like, I forget to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm like,
what's next?
Hello, everybody. Follow me. Listen to her podcast. Like she's on here to promote herself.
I know.
Follow at Kaylin on all platforms.
Like, hello, go subscribe to Off the Vine if you haven't already. Like, you're so, like, I just always forget. But yes,
I'm the same way. I feel like when I have conversation with friends, I'm like, I forget that this is even a podcast. Like, I feel like we're on a FaceTime right now, just like chatting about what's happening. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I always feel dumb promoting myself too, because I'm like, and if you subscribe and like and do all the things. But I think everyone that has heard me on the podcast before knows that I have wine labels, scrunchies, my podcast. I will always take all of the support, and people are just the best. Like everybody who has voted and been so supportive through, I mean, really the last 5 years, I just can't thank everybody enough. And I'm like, I more want to say thank you to everyone than like tell them where to find me, because I'm just so grateful for everybody being so supportive.
Aww, isn't that sweet? Well, you know, get what? To the place where you're like, I don't even need to shout myself out. I'm just thankful for everybody.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome, because we're in there, you know, the Kylie Jenner of scrunchies. We did W that.
Yeah,
so
we did.
So, yes. And we're always rocking our dues. We love
all
of
you.
Can't
wait to be a billionaire from school.
on your way. Here we go.
Scrunchies
wine. Scrunchies wine taking you to the top. So
I love it. Well, thank you guys so much for having me.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. Just a reminder, those bachelorette bios are coming to you hot on Monday. We hope you have a fantastic weekend. We love you all very much, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Bye.
Bye.